In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the gospel reading seems a bit strange, as if it doesn't fit for Trinity Sunday. The first reading seems to make sense. It holds before us the holiness and glory of God. The angels and archangels, the seraphim and cherubim, thunder their praises, shaking the very foundations of heaven and earth, while sinful man cowers in fear. The second reading also seems to make sense. It puts God far above us in all things, wisdom, glory, power, and might. The wisdom of God is far beyond man, and even the foolishness of God is far greater than man. But then we come to that gospel reading, and there is no awe-inspiring vision, no grandiose language, no miracles even. But it's simple and straightforward, and it centers around holy baptism. It's true that God has all glory and the holy angels fall before him. It is true that God's wisdom and power are unfathomable. But all of that is terrifying. In fact, all of that condemns us if we do not know that God is for us. And so it is baptism that reveals that God is for us, that God is our Savior. He is on our side. He is with us. He saves us. He leads us. He guides us. If he does not, then he's against us. If he is not for us, he is against us. Even if he is neutral in this, a holy and just God who is indifferent toward us is just as terrifying and condemning as a God who is against us. And so holy baptism reveals that God is for us. He is on our side. We are not just simply one among many saints. We are not just simply another mark, another notch on his belt. But you are his beloved. He chose you as his own. He named you as his own. He called you out of the nations, washed you and saved you, so that you might have an inheritance with him in his heaven forever. What a truly marvelous gift holy baptism is. But Nicodemus wanted to know a little bit more about who Jesus was and where he came from. So Jesus pointed Nicodemus to holy baptism, for there Jesus reveals himself as the God who saves. In those waters, he is present in a different way than he is present at his miracles. For in those waters, he destroys Satan's grip on you and frees you from your empty way of life. In those waters, he turns your grave into a blessed place of slumber and promises to wake you up yet again. In those waters, he opens heaven's gates before you and reveals himself to you as your Savior. Perhaps Nicodemus was looking for something earthly, an earthly Messiah who would set up God's earthly kingdom there in Jerusalem, centered in Jerusalem on the Jews themselves. Perhaps he was looking for something other than the heavenly kingdom of God. But Jesus shatters all of this with a simple phrase: no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. How surprised Nicodemus must have been that his birth from the lineage of Abraham meant absolutely nothing. But you must be born again of water and the Spirit. If you are not baptized, you cannot enter God's kingdom, much less even see God's kingdom. But if you are baptized, if you are born again by water and the Spirit, then not only will you see God's kingdom, but you will enter to live in that kingdom forever. This is not just for the Jews, but this is for all nations. So God shows himself the God of all people. God shows himself the Savior of all men. God shows himself as one who promises to be for and on the side of man when he instructs his church to go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lineage means nothing. Heritage means nothing. Ethnicity cannot hold you back or help you. For God has baptized you so that you might know this awesome, powerful, holy, ever-present God as your Savior. So let's get it out of our head that this or that group of people needs something a little bit different. That what works for us may not work for them. Every nation under heaven needs the same thing, water and the word. Every nation under heaven needs God to save them. For there is no difference. All have sinned. All are born of the flesh of Adam. And what is sinful cannot enter the kingdom of God. Even if you're a pious Pharisee as Nicodemus was and a member of the Sanhedrin, it's still not enough. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Sinners give birth to sinners. Nicodemus is surprised to hear this. We too are surprised. We're surprised to hear that our flesh really is that bad. And that our heritage, our parents, our ancestry means absolutely nothing. We are surprised to hear that our fallen flesh despises God and wants nothing to do with him. We are surprised to learn that this sinful flesh still clings to us and ruins all of our works. So the good we want to do, we do not faithfully do, but the evil we want to avoid, that we so often do. We are surprised to hear that man in his natural state is against God and cannot come to God or even ask God to come to him, but remains dead in his sin. And we've all held a newborn baby. It's shocking to hear that little bundle of joy cannot enter the kingdom of God apart from water and the Spirit, for lineage means nothing. Ethnicity and heritage means nothing, so also age means nothing. Flesh gives birth to flesh, sinners give birth to sinners. It's shocking to hear. But God reveals all this to us so he might show himself as our Savior. That is why this baptismal reading is perfect for Trinity Sunday, for he is a Savior. It's what he wants to do, it's who he is. The name Jesus means Savior. He did not come to help the good person get better, but he came to save the sinner. He came to save the wicked, the deplorable, the worthless, the godless. He came to save them. For he did not look for some good little spark of goodness inside of us. He did not look for some little silver lining inside of us. But salvation begins and ends in the heart of God. He makes the unlovable lovable. He makes the unworthy worthy. He makes the sinner a saint. He makes his enemies his children, and he gives the kingdom away for free, no strings attached. And he does this because it's simply who he is. He is a Savior. He can do all of this because he is the one who won that kingdom on his cross. And so there is no greater sight than that man hanging on that tree, than our God dying our death for us. There is no sight as marvelous as that. All the prestige of nobility, all the honor of royalties is a fool's errand when compared to that image of that man on that tree. For Jesus took the sins of the world into his own body to do away with all sin. He became the serpent to crush the serpent's head. He became the filth and the muck so that you may look at that God and find life in him. It's shocking for us to hear. We can imagine a high and exalted God who wields all power and has all glory and praise and knows all things. We can imagine a God who is worshipped and adored by strange angelic creatures and by every creature on this earth. We can imagine a God like that. But this? A God who bleeds? A God who dies? No man could have dreamed of that. Who of us could have imagined a love that deep, that wide, that broad? Who of us could have imagined that God would give himself for us? That love is founded solely in the heart of your God. And so the spear opens up Jesus' side, allowing you to stare straight into the heart of your God. And what do you see? You see blood and water flowing. Blood and water flowing into baptismal fonts throughout the world so that you might be washed clean, so that you might also believe that God is for you. He is on your side. He is with you. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. Or better, you are with him. You have been brought out of the kingdom of the world and into his kingdom, out of sin, out of darkness, out of death. When you stare into holy baptism, you are staring into the very heart of God. For baptism reveals God like nothing else, because it pulls you back to Calvary. God can wash you because Christ died for you. God can be for you because Christ died for you. God can save because Jesus won. He won that salvation on the cross. He gives it to you through holy baptism. Nicodemus is shocked to hear this. We too are shocked by this astounding love. And so a baptismal text really is the perfect text for Trinity Sunday. For we come to know about our God not through his glory and power and might, not through those heavenly visions, but we know him most clearly through holy baptism. For then he becomes the God who dies for us. Then he becomes the God who saves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.